traffic jam. Staring at the faces in a rearview mirror, looking at the promise of the promised land.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. All right, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. I'm a little late. I apologize for that. I got right ready to fire up here and everything locked up, and I had to reboot. So I have to start checking into this a little bit earlier and make sure everything is squared away before showtime. So try to get a handle on that. Let me run over here to the chat room real fast and see what's going on. Thank you, Dan, for letting everybody know I was going to be late. I sent messages to three or four people hoping at least one of you could get in there and let somebody know that I was going to be there, or that I am going to be there. So things are still starting. We got the important stuff up and running here. Got some things left over from the other night, or Monday night, that I wanted to... Thank you, Tebow. The mountain shooter's always reloading something. That's good. I need to get my... I got everything set up in there, and I haven't reloaded too much since we've been here. I've done some... Most of my reloading has been during reloading classes that I teach, so I take advantage of that time and get some reloading done while I'm demonstrating things, and that's about all of it. I've done a little bit, not as much as I'd like to. So, a lot of stuff happening again. Yeah, it seems to be the norm right now, and I'm, like I said, things are still opening up here, so give me just a minute to get squared away here. The we'll see how things go over this next 2 or 3 weeks here, 4 weeks, whatever it is, and I'll let you know what's going to happen. Slowly but surely, everything's getting opened up. I hate this. Being late is probably one of my biggest peeves, and it's not a pet peeve. It's a real, honest-to-goodness, full-grown peeve. And it irritates me to death. But once in a while it happens, no matter how hard you try or how good you are, it will bite you once in a while. So, all right, here we go. That's a long one right there. This is kind of an interesting story. And I don't know how many times we've talked about this. Exact same thing, basically. People get shot in different places. But here's a guy in Milwaukee. He was thought he was going to be beaten by robbers, but he beat him to the punch and shot himself instead. 20-year-old guy. Shooter happened to be the victim also, told the police he drew his gun shortly after midnight when he suspected the two men coming his way were about to rob him. So right there, let's stop right there a minute. Just because two people are walking towards you and they think they're going to rob you, I mean, you think they are going to rob you, is not cause for shooting somebody. It's not even cause for drawing your gun. It may be cause for walking to the other side of the street or, you know, unzipping your jacket, moving your purse to the other shoulder or whatever and being prepared as they get closer. When they get into your personal space, then that would be time for a verbal challenge, a verbal warning. And if they disregard that, then you know, once they get inside that 20-foot mark or so there, and they're not changing course or whatever, then a verbal warning may be good if you cannot leave. If you can leave, leave. You can go to the other side of the street, go to the other side of the street. If you can go in a store or a building or somewhere, do it. That's not the time to draw the gun because you're scared. It says the gun discharged, inflicting a non-life-threatening injury to the owner who was treated at a low area hospital. The gun discharged when he pulled the trigger. I know I've said that like 80,000 times, but it does say that violent crimes in Milwaukee are down at the start of this year, according to WPR.org. So, I guess shooting yourself, does that fall under violent crime? I'm not sure. They said there's a 22% decline from last year. There's been 74 non-fatal shootings so far in 2019, 22% less than last year. So Milwaukee was the nation's sixth most dangerous city last year, with 15.97 of every 1,000 citizens being victimized by violence. Now, it doesn't say gun violence, and you know some of them are sure are, some of them may not be. But anyway, all right. Well, slowly but surely. Here's another case of a concealed carry holder. You know, we got into a issue. There's a guy here named, I'm going to have to go look it up. I just thought about it. We were doing some security here this last weekend, and this guy, I haven't worked with him much yet. I'm not as familiar with him as I should be. But if I can find, anyway, it doesn't matter what his name is. He's running for representative here. And he got into an argument with some guy on his Facebook page come in there and said, well, what's your stand on the Second Amendment? And he said, well, I'm a combat veteran, blah, blah, blah. They all fight for our gun rights. And he said, and the guy said, okay, that's where you lost me. He said, you guys are crazy. And this went on and on and on. It was all I could do to stay out of it because it's not my page, and I didn't want to get in there and tell the guy what a moron he was. But I just let it go, and the things that he was saying is just astonishing to me that he would come up with this. And it's the same thing that we see some of the liberal magazines and radio shows, radio hosts and whatnot. I don't know where they pull this stuff from. Well, maybe I do. But I guess they think that none of us have the knowledge and ability to research it and check it out. And Doc saying zero by zero. What about everybody else? Let me check and see. Everything's bouncing here like it's supposed to. So I would guess if Doc is zero by zero, that Doc has a problem. Maybe on his end and not ours. But everything's moving right along here. So anybody else having problems there? Let me check this out. Yeah, we're all good here. All right, let's see. Nobody's answering me here. Do I need to type it in so you guys, maybe nobody can hear me? There you go. Doc's checking with everybody else. Well, I'll just keep on keeping on like I had good sense here. And you guys let me know. Mountain Shooter says it's in and out. So that's not good. I can't tell because on my deal here, it is bouncing just fine. My internet connection looks good and strong. And I don't know what to tell you. I see what it is. It is a Voscast problem. The stream is bouncing. There it goes again. That was the 32. The 64 is connecting again right now. But my internet is strong. Everything else is good. So it looks like we may be having a little bit of Voscast problem tonight. So we'll keep on going. If it gets too bad, well, we'll just pull the plug on it and try to pick up where we left off Friday. Might come in a little early Friday and take in. But it looks like it's going all right right now. All right, let's get back to where we're at. Let me get back over here to the deal here. If I can find the deal. There it is. Okay. All right, concealed carry holder shoots back, wounds two gunmen in Chicago. You know, since Chicago's put in place their concealed carry law, which was a long time coming. What's it been in there now? Two years, maybe three? There's been quite a bit of, quite a few incidents there that are very favorable for our side. There's still a lot of people, you know, 20, 30, 40 people getting shot, you know, practically every weekend, more on holidays. But there's still, you know, almost weekly we hear something out of Chicago or Cook County anyway, where somebody's fighting back and winning. I don't know that it's making a dent in the amount of shootings that there are over a period of, you know, a weekend or whatever. But it's making a dent in somebody's life, somebody that survived because they had their gun. So that's a very good thing. Let me get back to this. We're talking about the security thing we were doing this weekend. There was a guy that came up and had a parrot. And, of course, Amy was interested in because he had a parrot. You know, anything that has to do with animals. And this guy was, what he said was something about me. I think he was pointed at me or something. And he says, that guy must be security or something. And he said, you know how I can tell? Like he's some kind of a genius, like everybody else doesn't know. That, he said he's carrying a gun, for one thing. And, well, about 9 other people, 10-12 other people here are, too. And he said just the way he carries himself, conducts himself and everything. And he said, if I was coming here if I was a bad guy, he's the first one I'd take out. Okay, I've never been a real big fan of that theory. In some instances, yes, I agree. But I'm not there, or we were not there, to lure somebody into doing something. I think that it depends on what your job is, what your principle is, where you're at and everything. If you were, I can't think of a whole lot of instances where it would be better. I mean, right off the top of my head, I'm sure if I think about it a little bit, I could. But I can't think of a whole lot of instances where it would be better to completely blend in and be invisible. I think that by being visible, it does two things. One, a lot of people that, you know, common, everyday, ordinary guys, just thugs off the street or whatever, when they see two or three or four armed guys walking around the perimeter, you know, watching everybody, it kind of tends to discourage a lot of people, I think. Average people. And in this particular venue, in a hometown deal where the guys are, the two people we were watching there, are dearly loved. It doesn't mean that somebody, you know, there's not somebody there that doesn't like them. I understand that. But that being said, I think that just the fact that we were there and watching was more than adequate to keep anything from happening. The other thing, if what he said was true, then we still win. Because if he were to take out one of us, he don't know that there's not another one in there that is invisible. That's, blending in. But let's say that the, worst case, he did decide to take one of us out. We still win. Because our only job there is to protect somebody. If one of us gets shot, there's at least two others there that can address that, and by that time the cat's out of the bag. He's not, if he's trying to shoot your principal, then by shooting one of the security guards first makes that nearly impossible, because when that, and number one, the two guys we were guarding there were both combat vets. So, a gunshot rings out, they're not going to be there anymore. So if that guy is seriously interested in harming that representative or that senator, shooting one of the guards first is not going to be the best thing for that. So I told Amy I thought the guy was probably full of poop. I don't think he was. He said he was former Secret Service and all this kind of stuff, and showed her some kind of little card. Well, I sincerely doubt that. He may have, but I sincerely doubt it. Most of those people are kind of like the most of your special forces guys. Most of them are not anxious to tell everybody they meet that they've never seen before all about their past and what they did, when they were in service. And to come up and be so arrogant and tell everybody something so stupid, I'm just not convinced that he was all on the up and up. But even if he was, in my opinion, he was wrong. In some cases, it's like some of the guys say, well, if you're in a bank open carrying and a robber comes in, you're the first one they're going to take out. Well, no, what I think is if I'm open carrying in a bank and they come in, what I think is they're going to turn around and leave. Because their idea that now, if they're going to do Fort Knox or something, maybe that would be different. But to do anything from a bank or below, a convenience store or whatever, these guys typically are not looking to get into a gunfight. They're not looking to enhance the penalties that they're going to get if they get caught. They're not looking to get hurt. They're looking to go in and get their money and get out of there. And if they're faced with one or more people that are carrying guns and looking around and paying attention, it is my sincere belief that they're going to change their mind. Now, you have to understand also that they may not. You take 25 different cases of the exact same circumstances, with different players. There may be a couple of them that don't follow the norm there. But for the most part, I think the chances are really strong that's not going to happen. So that's my opinion, and you're welcome to it. So then,
you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. Robert E. Lee. You held your head high trying to win the victory. You fought for your folks, but you didn't die in vain. Even though you lost, they speak highly of your name. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets open up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, 'cause you couldn't help it all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. I saw General Lee raise a saber in his hand. Heard the cannons roar as you made your last stand. You marched into battle with the gray and the red. When the cannon smoke cleared, took days to count the dead. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. When Honest Abe heard the news about your fall, the folks thought he'd call a great victory ball. But he asked the band to play the song Dixie for you, Johnny Reb, and all that you believe. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. Yeah, you fought all the way, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb.
And we're back. There's a very interesting story here. You know, there's numerous reports here over the last few weeks. Well, remember when I did the story on the guy up in Wyoming? I believe it was up around Cody. It wasn't Cody. That did the Faraday building. They protected a whole building of stuff from EMP. And there's quite a few stories coming out, and these are coming out by, you know, relatively what's the word I'm trying to, I was going to say authentic, but oh my goodness, I hate this. Anyway, by people that are supposed to know what they're talking about. And there's one just come out. DHS has warned again that an EMP attack could take down America's power for, you know, 2 to 6 months. And this is an older story, but there was one just came out here in the last couple of days about Korea again launching a EMP attack on the country. Now, what this thing says is that this could actually, and this is a kind of a no-brainer if you think about it a little bit, that the America's world dominance could be threatened by this if this were, you know, a localized attack just on the United States. Now, if it was a CME and you know, affected multiple countries, that would be a whole different story. But it's looking like if this kind of goes down the way they're talking about it. So I guess my question to you is, have you been thinking about this? Are you getting your own house in order a little bit and thinking about, you know, building Faraday boxes for radios and things is not difficult. It's not expensive. Nobody knows just exactly how it's gonna play out or anything, but at least we can try. So, just we've talked about this a lot before, so I just want to go through this real quickly, just so you'll give you something to think about. This potentially could affect everything from your watch to you know, your electronic type flashlights, not your probably not your older, mag lights and those kind of flashlights, but a lot of these flashlights now or these tactical lights have electronic circuitry in them that could be affected by this. Probably will, is what I think, but I don't know that for sure. If you have a solar system set up at your house, if it's not protected, it's going to fry it. Depending on how severe this is, it may get everything up to and including the filaments of light bulbs. But, there's no way of knowing. It'll be worse in some areas, probably directly under the blast than it will in the outlying areas. But and I'm not going to say that it will affect your car and everything else. It may not. We don't know. Nobody knows for sure. Some people say some of the newer cars won't be affected. I don't see how they can help it. But, maybe they're not. But your CPAP machine, your kidney dialysis stuff, the ability to refrigerate, so medicines and food and stuff, are you prepared if the power goes down for any length of time? Are you prepared to yank everything out of your freezer and thaw it out and run it through a dehydrator, in some way dry it, make jerky out of the meat and dry the vegetables and fruit? AZ-Bound, that's funny right there. AZ-Bound says he'll feel better about his computer skills after the EMP. That's funny. So if you think about all these things now, your radios, that is, your radios and your flashlights, that's two of the most important things. Can you imagine how things were back in the 1800s? Where we were using candles in a tin can, or carbide lamps and stuff like that, where you could see fairly well out to 20 feet. I've got a flashlight in my pocket right now. I can see damn well out to about 200 yards. And to think of going through light, could I do it? Of course you can. Do I want to? Of course I don't. If I had the option, to have the ability to turn night into day with some of the lights that I have, that would be my serious choice, absolutely. But then that's why we put some of that stuff away. Go down to Lowe's and pick up. They got a hell of a nice little light down there for $24. Nice light, AA batteries, and get it in a box. Get it in an EMP box. Lead acid batteries and your alkaline batteries are not going to be affected. I don't think the lithium batteries will be affected. So that'll be good. But I still put batteries in every box with things that use batteries. Not that I'm protecting them, but I'll know where they're at. So if I just grab the box, I don't have to say, I better grab some batteries too. Because what's going to happen? I'm going to forget. So I put quite a few batteries and chargers and all that stuff in the boxes. So all I have to do is grab one box. Everything's in there. Antennas, chargers, mics, radios, batteries. The batteries are all charged up and ready to go. And those lithium batteries will stay charged to 100% for a long, long time. So probably if everything holds together for, another year, or maybe that would be a good project for this winter, I'll open one box at a time, double-check the batteries, make sure everything's charged up, make sure everything's working, reprogram the radios to some of the more recent programs that we're using, and seal them back up. And from this point until I die, this is the way it's going to be. So you guys can take that little bit of information for what it's worth, and it's worth just exactly what you paid for it. So that's what the guy in the oil field used to tell me all the time. Said that was worth exactly what you paid for it. Or he'd say that, take that, and what do you say back then? Take that and a dime, and you can go down and get yourself a cup of coffee. It's been a long time since coffee was a dime, I'll tell you that. And I would have never believed in during that time that people, these idiots, would be paying $6 for a cup of coffee either. Drives me nuts. Okay, that's enough about the EMP thing. This, like I said, this particular story is an older story, but since it's a DHS thing, interesting information in there. Matter of fact, I think we talked about this exact story once before when we talked about earthquakes. Now, EMP may not be the biggest thing. What if a large earthquake happened right before or after or during this EMP event? Something like the New Madrid Fault or the San Andreas Fault or something like that, where it could knock out, you know, hundreds of miles of power lines and stuff transfer stations or whatever you call them, distribution centers and stuff. So a lot of stuff to talk about. Wait, you know, the things that are going on right now, if you look at, I don't need that racket anymore. Let me turn that off. There's very, very few people. I met a very interesting man this last Sunday. He used to work in a highly specialized government occupation. And that just reconfirmed my commitment to this stuff and the things that I'm doing and the things that I do for other people. It consumes me and makes it where, you know, I neglect a lot of the other stuff that I'm supposed to be doing. But I just feel very, very strongly that this stuff needs to be addressed, and it needs to take a front seat above just about everything for right now. The AZ Bounds got a real good point. We talked about this here 3 or 4 weeks ago, that it's not going to be, he says there's a shortage of grain coming soon. It's not just going to be grain. It's going to be a lot of different stuff. It's going to affect a lot of different vegetables, some fruits, and the amount of work and people and fuel and vehicles and equipment and everything else that has to go up there. I think it's going to affect milk and milk prices, and, you know, any number of other things there. So I think that we're going to be seeing that probably this winter, I would guess. I think everything's pretty stable right now with what was already stored. And there's, you know, a lot of those big silos. I looked at a lot of pictures of some of those silos out there, and there was just tons of grain floating in the water around these silos where they either got too heavy, you know, water inside, and the doors burst open, or doors were already open when the water came, or whatever the case was. So we don't have any idea what this is, how this is going to affect their planting and everything for the following season, because a lot of this land is so washed away. The topography has changed in some areas that so much of it has moved. So it's not going to be a matter of, well, as soon as it dries out, we'll just get the tractor and go plant some more. Because in some areas, that's not going to be possible until some reconstruction is done of the land there. So this is the worst in history in some of those areas, many of those areas in the Midwest. as we look at this stuff that is taking place there, and we see things going on back, back east, I wonder what we have been very blessed here in the Southwest for a long time. It was back in the 60s that we had our last huge catastrophic snowstorm, 6 and 8 feet of snow, literally overnight. And that winter was bad all over the Southwest. We've had our share of droughts, but there's always been the ability to truck water or, have it transported in some other manner by pipeline or whatever. We've managed to get through it, re-drilled some wells. I didn't tell you, I may have told you, that our well dried up here. And we had to re-drill it, 100 feet down the hill and go a little deeper. What's going to happen, we have what they call our monsoon season, where we get very heavy rains for a little while, into next month, into August, somewhere in there. And I'm wondering if it's going to be our turn when those rains come, or is it going to be heavy winds, or is it going to be wildfire, or is it going to be heavy snows this winter? Is it going to be a combination of all of the above? But I think that our time is coming. Every single area of the United States has been affected by something catastrophic, something huge, over the last, 3 or 4 or 5 years. Every single area in this country has been hit with something that was life-altering in some manner, except the Southwest. So I'm curious to see how things are going to play out here over the next year. So I'd like to think that we're as prepared as we can be. I think about different scenarios and what's going to happen, and a lot of what we depend on is knowledge. If everything goes to hell and we have to leave, in nothing but our underwear and grab your 72-hour kit, in the middle of the night or something, how are we going to survive in the worst-case scenario? Well, a lot of it's going to be because we know how. It's not going to make it easy. It's not going to make it fun. People are still going to die. People are going to get sick. People are going to get desperate and try to kill each other. But it's all part of the test. That's why we're here. So without, the Lord said he wouldn't give us anything that we weren't strong enough to handle. So keep that in mind when all this takes place. I think we'll see something happening here for too very long. See, we need to run over about 10 minutes about 10 minutes late. And I did say the other night, Monday night, that I'm going to start doing things a little bit differently here, at least for a little while. And start sticking a song in every once in a while instead of talking so damn much. So we're going to start that for right now, again.
I'll be back.
Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I got is just what I've got on. When that sun is high in that Texas sky, I'll be bucking at the county fair. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo, I'll be there. They took my saddle in Houston, broke my leg Santa Fe. Lost my wife and a girlfriend somewhere along the way. But I'll be looking for aid when they pull that gate, and I hope that judge ain't blind. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo's on my mind. Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I got is just what I've got.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country. That ain't country.
All right, everything's a little out of sync there for time since we got started so late, but we'll get through it. We've managed to survive this long, so I'm sure it's not going to be that big of a deal. Okay, let's move on here. We have several other... Oh, you know what? There was a... Here's a good gun thing. Mountain Shooter, you need to stop reloading for a minute and pay attention. These people with CBS News are experts, extraordinaire. I'm telling you, their perception and their ability to reason and work this stuff out is nothing short of mind-boggling. I didn't know this. I had no idea until today. CBS News says that AR-15 rifles are more powerful than handguns. I would have never in a million years dreamed it. 60 Minutes did a report on the AR-15 rifle this last Sunday. This is, this report came out yesterday. And discovered that the rifle is more powerful than a handgun. I'm shocked. I'm speechless. I would have never had a clue. They specifically contrasted an AR-15 rifle with a 9mm handgun and spent time talking about the different levels of penetration and tissue damage caused by a round from each one. Scott Pelley, that's the host of this show over the 60 Minutes, interviewed University of South Carolina researcher Cynthia Burr, or Beer, or Buyer, or something, who explained that videoing a 9mm bullet from a handgun in slow motion. She talked of shooting ballistic gel with the 9mm, saying the handgun bullet traveled about 800 miles an hour. 800 miles an hour. and sliced nearly straight all the way through the gel. Now, we find out here that this is a full metal jacketed bullet. 800 miles an hour. Let's see. Let's check out her calculations here. If we had, for ease of figuring, let's call it 1,200 feet per second. Times 60 seconds in a minute, times 60 minutes in an hour. So we have divided by 5,280. Hey, she's not far off, 818 miles an hour. How about that? I've never looked at it like that. I've always thought of feet per second. Yeah, 818 miles an hour. So then she described a round from the AR-15, said it traveled three times faster and struck with more than twice the force. I speechless. The shockwave of the AR-15 bullet blasted a large cavity in the gel, unlike the bullet from the handgun. The host was impressed, said, wow, there's an enormous difference. You can see it right away. Yeah, right away. Yes, you can. So I wonder, what would have happened if they would have compared this, this 223, this AR-15 round, to a 380 or a 25? Or what about if they'd have compared it to a 45-70 or a 30-06 or, 416, whatever, Rigby or something? Well, there you go. That's our big news thing for the night right there is AR-15 is more powerful than a handgun, believe it or not. So, all right, let me bounce over here real quick. And, Tebow, I don't know where they got the information. I guess they, probably hired an Antifa guy that had an AR-15 or something and Nan's probably exactly right. They probably pulled it out of their Obama is what they probably did. So. All right. 3,200 feet per second. Yeah, that'd be about right. What'd you say? 800 miles an hour would be three times that. So it's about three times. That's about right. Okay, well, that's enough of that nonsense. Just thought I'd share that earth-shattering news. I doubt if there's very many of you even knew that. The rifle is more powerful than a handgun. How amazing is that? You know, something that I don't think we've talked about this. I talked about it off the air a little bit. But Needles, California has always wanted to be Needles, Arizona. It probably gets more business from people from Arizona and traveling through from Arizona and everything. And they should be, because Needles is a little different than the rest of the state. Needles actually set itself for, and I think this is probably the only one in California, but Needles, California is now a Second Amendment sanctuary city, if you can believe that. And I read a deal today, and I didn't save it. It said that, let's see if I can remember, that Needles wants some special consideration, different tax breaks and stuff. No, they wanted some changes, some exceptions to California's laws because it's not appealing to Arizonans. A large part of their I don't know about a large part, but a pretty good bit of their business comes from Arizona, and they want it to be Arizona-friendly, which means gun-friendly in many cases. And that's what Needles is trying to make happen right now. So I was impressed. It's rare indeed that I'm impressed with anything about California, but that's pretty impressive. Second Amendment sanctuary state in Needles, California, if you can believe it. All right. Let's see where we're at. That's, oh boy, now, you guys are going to think I'm joking. I thought I was joking when I first read this. And I know there's going to be many jokes about this. But when you get through with the jokes and everything, think about this seriously. This is actually a little bit disturbing. I checked when I first read this, I looked vigorously at different sources here to try to find out that this was satire, or that it was, you know, just a flat out lie or whatever. But it is on a number of high profile or highly respected news places, and Fox and CBS and everybody. It's not just a made up deal. They've got video to go with it and everything. So what am I talking about with all that? Well, you know what cicadas are, right? Noisy little critters out there. You got great old big wings, and they get out there and make so much noise. I don't know if they have them all over the United States, but we've certainly got our share of them around here, more than our share. So hang on just a second.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation, no, let's talk it over number.